I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Acts, Acts 26. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your hospitality to my wife and I. While we've been here, we felt quite at home and welcome. If that wasn't your intention, you blew it because we did feel welcome. But I am glad to be here. Good to see these somewhat young men here. Some are not quite young, but appreciate your boldness, Caleb. Thanks for coming back. It looks bad on my resume when people I pick on don't return. So we're grateful that you're here. Acts 26 and verse number 1. The Bible reads, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews." The word of God is quite clear. Paul was before royalty. Paul wanted to be there. Paul longed to get there, and this was his moment. In fact, Paul was accused of things of the Jews, but because of Roman domination, he had to appeal to Agrippa, and as a Roman citizen, he could, because several hundred years before, there was a senator in Rome who determined that every Roman citizen ought to be able to appeal to the highest person. I was reading a history book from what we would call the intertestamental period. I was reading this book, and this guy is talking about this senator came up with this rule that as a Roman, you could appeal to before the highest rule. And I thought, oh my goodness, how God used that politician to take care of Paul centuries later to be able to stand up and say, I want to explain something to you. Notice in verse number 9, the Bible's verse number 6, he said, "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." Verse 9, "I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And of many of the saints did I shut them up in prison. Having received authority from the chief priests when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." You say, well, how is it? I thought Paul was on the good side. But there was another day where he played for the other team. And yet the Holy Spirit of God arrested him. And he switched from the team of darkness to team light, as you'll see in just a minute as he gives this testimony to royalty. He said, verse 11, "I punished them oft in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Paul's main mission was to persecute the Jews who were Christians, who had converted to Christianity. He wanted them to suffer. He did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. But something changed in his life. The gospel came to Paul's life, and it changed him. Note, if you would please, verse 12, he describes his conversion. "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun." You can imagine noonday brightness. "And then seeing a light brighter than the sun." The Bible reads, "Shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things of the which in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Paul will continue his testimony before Agrippa, but in the midst of his testimony, Paul reveals what a gospel-centered life is about. Many people center their lives around sports. Some people center their lives around grandchildren. Others center their lives around their jobs. Others center their lives around their opportunities of leisure. And each of those centrist positions of your life, meaning that's our chief aim, that's the first thing we think of. Some people, it's recreation, hunting, fishing, these kind of things. But when it comes to the gospel-centered life, you'll know it just like you know if somebody is into politics or into sports or into leisure or recreation. You'll know when it shows up in their life. And what showed up in Paul's life was he was a gospel-centered Christian. You say, well, I thought this was about extracting money from us, this missions conference. Not at all. What this is about is saying, is your life centered on the gospel, or has something else taken the central position of your life? You say, well, how do I know if my life is centered around the gospel? Paul said, you can turn there if you'd like. I'll read three verses to you, or you can trust me as I read the word of God. 1 Timothy 1:12 through 15, Paul talks about, you see, the gospel changed Paul's past. The gospel changed Paul's present. The gospel changed Paul's future. The gospel made a difference in his life. 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. You say, whoa, whoa, whoa. He made people try to get them to blaspheme. That's what he did before, and he himself did so too. He said, I was a persecutor. I was injurious. And then what happened? The Bible said, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and the love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a worthy saying of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. If we forget from where God brought us, the gospel becomes out of center or out of balance for us. Many of you say, well, I know I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven when I die. Thank the Lord for that. And I do rejoice with you. But we can be so busy living our lives that we lose focus of who we are. So I return you to back to the testimony before Agrippa. And Paul talks about the four things that the gospel did to his life. You could use them as a measuring platform, a metric, if you would, to say, okay, the gospel changed Paul there. Did it change me there? Did the gospel change Paul here? Does it change me here? Am I like Paul in this as he was? Am I? And I want to point to those four things that the gospel did. In fact, if you're writing notes, it'll just start with two words, gave him. The gospel gave him, and then we'll fill in some blanks accordingly. What does the gospel do when someone lives a gospel-centered life? Number one, the gospel gave Paul, gave him someone to be. What do you mean? Notice, if you would please, the Bible said in verse number 15, he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. 16, he said, rise, stand, I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to do what? To make thee a minister and a witness. Note both, if you would please. This is the identity Paul found because of the gospel. The idea of the first one is a minister. What is a minister? Well, I know you could think about perhaps a denominational cleric who would wear perhaps a certain garb, if you will, and maybe a collar a certain way, and you would easily identify them to say, well, they are a minister. But Paul used a term here that they would clearly understand, but it would be nautical. What do you mean? Well, would you seven guys come help me? Just set your Bibles down and come here. This won't hurt. No one's ever died in an illustration of which I'm aware. Caleb, that's you too. I know you're a college boy, but yeah. Okay, two up, two. Oh, please don't make me do this. Shoulder to shoulder, two facing this way. Yeah, oh, I'm on the struggle bus. Turn this way, face me, two by two. Two here, one here. Two here. Oh, my soul. If we were doing this in the South, it would have worked. Very good. This is it. You are so far out of zigzag over here. Yes. Step up, Caleb. Bring your partner. There, stop. Not too far. We've got to row a boat. That's what the term meant. Not the captain on the deck, but someone who would be beneath the deck. And they would row. Oh, do tell. Let's do this. Take your oar. Oar is here. Oar is there. Oar is there. Oar is there, Caleb. You're good, man. You're cool. Here we go. Oar is here. You knew. Thank you for being on my team. Dude. Oar. Thank you. Over here. Right. No, the other here, there. And what do we do? They're under, you can see it, right? The captain's above us. We would hold pastor up, but it'll take too long to do. The captain is over us on the next deck, and we are just the, dude, you're getting it. Yes, I knew you would. And we are just the slaves. And our job is to do one thing. Row. Christ said to Paul, I need you to be a minister. He said, well, if I'm under the deck, you all dropped your oar. You are the sorriest rowers I've ever seen. Caleb, over here, the oar is out the window. Oh, my soul. Can I get an upgrade somewhere, please? Upgrade. Yeah, meaning new rowers, but I'm on the struggle bus, so here we go. It is, yes, exactly. It is the idea of saying we won't get notoriety. People won't know who we are. The captain will get all the attention. And all we'll do is move the gospel ship. So what do? Ready? On three. Row. 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 You say, well, what's their names? Doesn't matter. Where they come from? Doesn't matter. All they know is they were put on the boat to row. And that is our job. When the gospel influences your... You are not supposed to stop rowing. You are out of the rowing union. That's it. Your job is just simply to row. Nothing else but row. When the gospel is the central part of your life, you are not, please, for the honor of love and country. Yes. This, yes, you do. This is who a church is. These are who believers are. We just simply say, we are to be rowers. You say, well, I turned in my card. You're rowing. I passed out a track. You're rowing. Deliver me. Our job, when the gospel is the center part of our lives, he calls on us to be rowers. Please go sit down. I'm done. I think I'm going to need a heart pill after all that. The gospel gave Paul, number one, someone to be a rower. A minister. There ought to be somewhere on the campus of this church where you row. You ought to be able to take me after service somewhere on this facility and say, I row the gospel ship here. So, well, I'm waiting to be the captain. Got one. No, we got several. All we need are people who will row. And that's what he asked him to do. The gospel gave him someone to be, not just a minister, but also a witness. I can't illustrate that one because I don't have much to work with here. But imagine with me someone who would be able to just simply tell what they know. Do you want to know what the gospel ought to be doing in your life? If the gospel is central to your life, number one, it'll give you someone to be. A rower, a minister, and a witness. Number two, I read from what Paul's testimony was to Agrippa, and I realize that not only did the gospel give him someone to be, but it also gave him somewhere to go. Where was he going? Notice he was sending him to hard places and hated places and hard to reach places. He said, I'm sending you places and I want you to travel with the gospel. It's your job. You're going to be a witness. You're going to be someone who rows the boat underneath the deck with the rest of the slaves. That's your job and I'm going to give you places to go. There ought to be somewhere in this county where you deliver the gospel. There ought to be some route that you have. I'm not talking about a bus route. I'm talking about places where you go. I'm thinking of an 85-year-old man who has a route, and he would go in different places and leave a tract or two in various places, and he goes by and checks the route that he leaves tracts to make sure there's always a tract that's there. I tell you, there ought to be somewhere where you are going with the gospel. When the gospel influences your life, it'll give you somewhere to go. He said, well, now this is why we have the pastoral staff. When we want someone to know about Jesus, we call them. That's what we pay them to do. We just give the offering. They do the work. Wrong. That's not what they do. They're here to equip you. And when the gospel is a central part of your life, number one, it'll give you make you someone to be. And it'll give you, number two, somewhere to go. Number three, I look and it says, it'll give you something to do, someone to be, somewhere to go. Number three, something to do. Note it, if you would, please, in verse number 18. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. Ethan, I see how far back you're seated, but it doesn't bother me. I can find you anywhere, but at this point, I want Noah to come here. Noah Handy, come on down. Hurry, I'm on the clock. I'm union, I get a break at 7:06, whether I'm done or not. Noah, how old are you?
Nine.
He said in that passage, Can I stand behind you and put my hands over your eyes? Do you mind? Dad, is it okay? I have hand sanitizer. I can wipe it in his eyes if you want, whatever. You'll get that later. Right here, this describes the majority of the world. They can't see. What did the gospel do to Paul? Gave him someone to be, gave him somewhere to go, and number three, gave him something to do. What was he to do? He was to be, watch now, an eye opener, to go around and open people's eyes. Did Paul open people's eyes? Oh, yes, he did. And the majority of the New Testament helps open our eyes. And this is what we have. Our job. I'm going to cover your face again. Really, it's like an upgrade. And when we see people, our job is just to take them and say, could I show you the light of the darkness. Could I take you from team darkness to team light? It's the gospel that does that. If you're counting on pastoral staff to get the job done in this county, we'll never get it done. But the gospel, if it's changed your life, if it's the central part of your life, it'll give you someone to be, somewhere to go, something to do. Eye openers. The other one, Noah, I got to use you again. Walk toward pastor. He's right. Good. The Apostle Paul's job is to be a people turner. Walk toward the other pastor, the missionary guy that's there. That's our job. You say, well, that was simple. I know. Sorry, I made you hell and him heaven. I apologize. I'm not sure how that happened. Think through this, John, the next time you do that. You didn't keep going. You're worse than them. Okay, stop. He was headed this way. And now he went that way. Because someone whose life was influenced by the gospel said, I'm to be an eye opener. I'm to be a people turner. Number three, I'm to be a life investor. Paul made it his life's mission. Off you go, Noah. You are quite handy. His last name is Handy. It was too easy. But I was really glad that even the guys in the front row said, oh, yeah. I have only one more person to get, and I got one more point, and it's Pastor Morris, because he was wondering. Number one, the gospel gave him someone to be, gave him somewhere to go, gave him something to do. And I read this last part of verse 18, and I realize that the gospel gave him something to say. He was a messenger of forgiveness and a messenger of forever. He indicated there was a reward for the saved and a reward for the sanctified. Caleb, do you have a job? Is it legal? Can we talk about it? What's your job? Where do you work? The first was a floor store?
Yes.
There's much I want to say at this point, but I'm going to go with you on that, okay? The floor store.
No, I don't get walked all over.
No, you don't get walked all over. No, I had better than that. Could, if I came to your job site tomorrow, your office where you work, if you're working tomorrow, I can see Caleb's quite literally saying, I'm not on the schedule tomorrow. I'm working at the other place. Whatever. The next time you work at the floor store. And I walked in. Could I say, hey, Caleb, show me where you do your job. Could you show me somewhere in that establishment where you work? Could you do that if you were here at church?
Probably not.
And probably that's most of the answers for everybody here. But you ought to be able to take me out to a church bus. You ought to be able to take me out to a nursing home. You ought to be able to take me out to a classroom. You ought to be able to take me somewhere and say, Brother O'Malley, let me show you where I do eye opening. Let me show you where I do people turning. Let me show you where I row the gospel ship. Let me show you the gospel's given me someone to be when I was just a persecutor, blasphemer, and injurious. And it gave me someone else to be. And it gave me something to do and somewhere to go. And it also gave me something to say. If the gospel hasn't been that transformative in your life, what are you doing? You say it'd be easier if you made us feel bad and give more money, but that doesn't work. What we have to get to is to say, God saved me and gave me someone to be that I wasn't before. And gave me something to do that I never did before. And gave me somewhere to go and gave me something to say when I got there. If the gospel stopped being the central part of your life, we fix that here. You say, well, I really thought it was about the whole giving thing. When you realize how central the gospel is to your life, the giving thing, it just happens. But my question for you tonight is this: where do you row the ship here? When was the last time you were a people turner, an eye opener, a life investor? One very last question, in the sense that a preacher understands what finally, lastly, and in conclusion means, in that general sense. If you looked around the room tonight, how many people could you count on one hand, on both hands, toes, whatever, are in this room because you led them to the Lord, discipled them in the faith, saw them get baptized? How many people are in this room because the gospel influenced your life? You say, well, Brother O'Malley, I really can't. I understand. But we were saved not to sit. Would you stand with me? Has the gospel changed who you are? Has the gospel given you places to go? Has the gospel given you something to do? Has the gospel given you something to say? All these guys were up here, and they were pretend rowing. But that's our primary job, is to just be a minister. You say, well, what if I want to be on top of the deck, and God put me on the bottom of the deck with rowers? I would rather be where God wants me to be, knowing my skill set, than to choose somewhere else where I wasn't equipped to do the work that He wants me to do. Dear Father, thank You that the gospel was so transformative to Paul's life. It truly did give him someone to be, somewhere to go, something to do, and something to say. But God, I'm afraid that in this really messed up world where we live, that the gospel's not central to our lives. And so we've forgotten who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to go and what we're supposed to say. God, help us to get alignment tonight, to get aligned with Your word, and may the gospel be central to our lives once again. Our sister's beginning to play. Why don't you come tonight to this altar and say, God, I need the gospel to be central in my life again. Missions has become nothing more than the money. And I forgot that I was supposed to be someone different, doing something different. The gospel was to influence my life, and I've not allowed it to do that. The altar's open. We'll not tarry, and I ask you to come.